The FAA is back in business, for now. General aviation manufacturers report falling deliveries. And AirTran will drop service to 4 small markets. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 5th, 2011. Yesterday afternoon, U.S. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid announced a compromise which will end the partial shutdown of the FAA, which started July 23rd. Details of the compromise are sketchy so far, but apparently Reid will invoke a provision of Senate rules which allows him to cast the only needed yes vote for a unanimous approval of the existing House FAA extension, which cuts subsidies of airline service to some small airports. That could happen as soon as Friday. Then, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood will somehow be able to waive those cuts from taking effect. Reid admits the underlying disagreements remain, but says Congress should not throw tens of thousands of workers out of their jobs while the political dispute plays out. An estimated 4,000 FAA workers and 70,000 construction workers on airport projects were affected. Airports Council International North America President Greg Principato commented, quote, "Airports are thrilled with the news. While airport projects across this nation have been delayed or postponed, and for some the construction season has been lost, it is great that thousands of construction personnel can get back to work. We also look forward to having our colleagues at the FAA back on the job, working in partnership with airports to improve safety, security, and efficiency of the best aviation system in the world." Unquote. Yesterday, while the stock markets were seeing their biggest single-day crash since 2008, the General Aviation Manufacturers Association released shipment and billing figures for the first half of the year, and that was more bad news. Total general aviation airplane shipments worldwide fell 15.5%, from 936 in 2010 to 791 this year. Billings totaled $7.3 billion. That was down 22.3%. Piston-powered airplane shipments totaled 387 units, compared to 424 in the first 6 months of last year. That's an 8.7% decline, and that was the relative bright spot. Shipments of turboprops and biz jets were down even more. Gamma President Pete Bunce pointed out, quote, "These negative shipment numbers demonstrate precisely how ill-timed and potentially destructive the Obama administration's rhetoric and policies toward corporate jets are for general aviation. This administration has singled out business aircraft owners with political demagoguery. It is simply astonishing that they cannot connect the dots back to manufacturing jobs and realize they are doing more damage to an industry that has obviously not yet clawed its way out of this recession. Instead of demonizing our industry, President Obama should stand up for general aviation manufacturing jobs." Unquote. There was also no love from the unions, where Obama will need support to be reelected. Tom Buffenbarger, president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, added, quote, "If President Obama ever becomes interested in creating general aviation jobs, rather than using the industry as a punching bag, we are ready to work with him to advance these job and business opportunities." Unquote. AirTran Airways, which is preparing for its merger with Southwest, has issued a news release which says it will drop service to Asheville, North Carolina, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Moline Quad Cities, Illinois, and Newport News, Virginia. In the case of Asheville, which had service to Orlando, the move eliminates duplication. Southwest began service in March at the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport in South Carolina, which is only 55 miles from Asheville. USA Today reports overlapping service is also a factor for Newport News Williamsburg International, with Southwest already serving Norfolk, only 30 miles away, and AirTran already serving Richmond. AirTran has served the Quad Cities International Airport for 15 years, but is currently down to just one daily nonstop flight, also connecting with Orlando. The cut in service to Atlantic City was simply a matter of an underperforming market, according to AirTran. AirTran spokesman Chris White told USA Today, quote, "It is important to reiterate that this decision, while difficult, has been under consideration for many months and even before our two airlines came together." Unquote. The cuts are effective January 6, 2012, at Asheville, Atlantic City, and Quad Cities, and March 9, 2012 at Newport News. AirTran says the small number of customers who had already booked travel from affected cities after those dates will be contacted directly and reaccommodated, and that employees affected will be offered work elsewhere within the company. NASA's Juno spacecraft, which could launch as early as this morning, is carrying a 1.5-inch tall Lego likeness of the Roman god Jupiter to orbit his namesake planet. Jupiter's wife, Juno, and famed astronomer Galileo Galilei will share the ride. The inclusion of the three figurines is part of a joint outreach and educational program developed as part of a partnership between NASA and the Lego Group to inspire children to explore science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. In Greek and Roman mythology, Jupiter drew a veil of clouds around himself to hide his mischief. From Mount Olympus, Juno was able to peer through the clouds and reveal Jupiter's true nature. In Lego's rendering, Juno, who oddly appears to wear a pantsuit and a modern short hairstyle, holds a magnifying glass to signify her search for the truth, while her husband holds a lightning bolt. The third Lego crew member is Galileo, who made several important discoveries about Jupiter, including the four largest satellites, which are called the Galilean moons, in his honor. Of course, the miniature Galileo has his telescope with him for the journey. The solar-powered Juno spacecraft is expected to arrive at Jupiter in 2016 and will orbit the planet's poles 33 times to investigate the gas giant's origins, structure, atmosphere, and magnetosphere. Up next on ANN, a former U.S. Airways mechanic is sentenced for theft. A FedEx MD-10 will become Orbis's new flying hospital. And here's how to wake him up in the checkpoint line. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 5th. I'm Paul Platt. A 53-year-old Pennsylvania man, who said he became angry when U.S. Airways cut his pay and retirement benefits, was sentenced last Friday to prison for stealing equipment from the airline, according to the Pittsburgh Tribune-Review. Ronald Akins of Center, Pennsylvania, worked for 30 years as a mechanic for U.S. Airways and pleaded guilty to the thefts, which all took place between 2004 and 2009. According to the Beaver County Times, town police raided his home on November 13, 2009, and recovered a large hydraulic jack, wheels, and pressure gauges, and 2 6-foot-long torque wrenches. Other missing items included landing lights, seat belts, and 43 Telex 750 headsets. Prosecutors cited eBay records, which they say show Akins sold some of the stolen equipment in online auctions for more than $350,000. The man had no prior criminal record. Federal District Judge Arthur Schwab sentenced Akins to 2 years in prison, 3 years probation, and ordered him to pay $586,000 in restitution to the airline. Generally speaking, when you see your helicopter heading for the trees, it's not a good thing. But the passengers in a Robinson R-44 that went down during a photo shoot Wednesday in South Africa credit trees around the University of Cape Town for preventing a crash into a building, and the result was only minor injuries to the pilot and none to the passengers. Passenger Terry February, age 56, told IOL News he was photographing the Graca McKell building on UCT's lower campus for BKS Engineering, a company that had been involved in its construction, when he noticed, quote, the pilot was struggling to position the helicopter, and he was circling when the helicopter made a very strong shudder, unquote. After the pilot told the passengers he was going to make an emergency landing, February says the machine seemed to lose power. The R-44 broke a skid and came to rest on its side with fuel leaking, but there was no fire. South Africa's Civil Aviation Authority is investigating. FedEx and Orbis International, a global organization dedicated to saving sight, kicked off a North American Goodwill Tour Wednesday in Los Angeles with the announcement of a new 5-year, $5.4 million commitment in the form of cash and in-kind contributions from FedEx. FedEx Express will also donate an MD-10 to Orbis to become the third-generation Flying Eye Hospital. The new Flying Eye Hospital is the world's only airplane with a fully functioning state-of-the-art eye hospital on board. It will be built on an MD-1030 freighter and will utilize a modular design concept. Orbis volunteer doctors impart to local doctors, nurses, biomedical engineers, and technicians the skills necessary to provide high-quality eye care to their communities that will prevent and treat the avoidable causes of blindness such as cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetic retinopathy. And finally today, if you travel often, you've seen the dry, government-commissioned videos that play on big monitors while you wait in checkpoint lines. They do a reasonable job of clarifying what may or may not be carried into the gate, assuming you can stay awake during them. Harriet Baskis, who writes often about airline travel in her MSNBC blog, Overhead Bin, tells the story of Cindy Martin, director of Glacier Park International Airport in Kalispell, Montana, who realized there was nothing she could do about the long lines at security, but she decided that there absolutely was something she could do about those awful videos. Martin asked a local novelty music act, the Singing Sons of Beaches, to look over the video and see if they couldn't come up with a more entertaining alternative. In the result, which runs just under 2 minutes in length, the trio demonstrates what not to take through checkpoints, including a chainsaw case as a carry-on, bleach and a gas can, and a bomb which looks much like something Wile E. Coyote might have ordered from Acme. There's even a cameo by a real TSA screener. The video is now alternating with the official government-produced version at Glacier Park International, and Riddle says he's heard of people with no plans to fly paying to park at the airport just to go inside and see it. Baskis notes a similar, if much more polished, approach was used at McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas, where performers including Wayne Newton, Carrot Top, and the Blue Man Group appeared in a checkpoint video. That's the latest from Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.